Good morning.
Good morning.
So grateful to be here with you today, and grateful that I'm just here. I'm just here worshiping with my family. It's been a wild time as a multiple small child family, but Forrest is with us. He's 7 months old. We haven't got him church trained yet, so we're working on it. Very excited today that my brother Reggie is here. Reggie Harvey is the senior pastor at Transform Life Center in Dayton, Ohio. He's a brethren pastor. I met Reggie in the summer of 2009. You're getting older. Not me, but Reggie is. And we're so grateful that he's here to share a message this morning from the book of James. He is an incredible blessing to me. He's constantly encouraging, positive, wise, skinny as a Dickens. And so I'm going to bring him up and pray for him, and then I'm going to let him loose on you.
Awesome. Blessing.
You look nicer than me, too. That's okay. Let me pray for you, brother. Jesus, thank you so much for Reggie and his ministry. We just are so grateful for how this family of faith that you've blessed us with, it goes all around the globe. And we're united this morning in our pursuit of your heart. So let us sit under the teaching of Reggie this morning. Let us sit under the authority of your word this morning. And may the church of Jesus Christ be blessed by the proclamation of the victory of Jesus in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name, and God's people said,
Amen.
Thanks so much.
Amen. Blessing. Truly, it is an honor to be here today. Thank you so much. And I'm old school, so I have to have a podium and all. I'm not like Nate. He's smooth. He's able to, bring things out of the air and all that other stuff and work around all that. But I'm a little bit old school. As he said, I'm getting older. I'm like, wow, I'm 53 and going to be January 54. I'm like, but, you know, I copy off of my daughters with my clothes. So they're over there today. I have one that's out of town, and pray for my wife, but I'm always copying off of them. They get these nice looking shoes, Vans and all that, and they start tie-dyeing their t-shirts, and I was watching them, so I was like, oh, wait a minute, I'm gonna get that style. And so I went shopping and bought some tie-dye shirts, and they said, Daddy, you can't be copying off of them. But oftentimes they dress me though, so I kind of take my cues from them so that I can stay looking young and stay fresh and stay strengthened, amen? So my strength is in the Lord. I'm not gonna be before you long, but truly it is an honor to be here today. I want you to keep my wife in prayer. She's not here with me today, but just been going through a lot of trials and tribulations, some mental situations that were for unseen, but nevertheless, just keep her in your prayer. She's been with me in ministry for years. We've been married for 25 years, and I have four wonderful, beautiful daughters. My cousin Doug is here today also. So just again, amen. Amen. We appreciate them. And just keep her in your prayers and keep my family in your prayers as well. Real quick, I just want to say the facilities is beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And then here come COVID-19. But God has a purpose and God has a plan. So whenever we face trials, we must continue to bless the Lord anyhow. I'm really glad to see in this beautiful building that we are still honoring the cross. Amen. Oftentimes we are building these great facilities and you see no paraphernalia. I hate to use that term. You know, normally they use drugs when you say that. But we sometimes don't see the cross being the focus. And so I'm really, really honored of that. And that's just a blessing that you all are still focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Real quick, I'm going to be in the book of James. But before we get in the book of James, it's a lot of racial tension and a lot of mess that's going on. And we honor you, Pastor Nate, and bless your family. And thank you all for allowing me to be here. I've been brothering for years. Sometimes feeling like the black sheep of the family, literally the black sheep of the family, but God is good anyway. I'm still your brother, and you're my brothers and sisters, and so I'm glad to be here today. But very quickly, in the book of Acts chapter 1, the church started with 120 believers. Amen. And Jesus had left the church and gave the responsibility over to Peter. He is the leader of the church. There's 120 believers. And the Bible says in Acts 2 that on the day of Pentecost, amen, the Holy Spirit fell. And when it fell on every tribe, every nation, every creed, every individual that you know. If you read that, when you get a chance, Acts chapter 2, make sure you read that. And it said that they all began to speak in tongues, and there was African brothers. There was Chinese folk. There were all types of people, and they were speaking one language. And it said that how is it that we can all hear them speaking in our language? Meaning that the Holy Spirit failed and that the body, the people of God, were unified. How did the church become segregated as it is today? How did it come segregated as it is today? And so when we see all of this racial tension and all these things, so we have to bring things back into perspective and begin to see that when Christ puts something together, he intends for it to continue to thrive together. And so we have to be intentional on being open, amen, to different nationalities, different cultures, so that we can understand that it's not about our traditions, but it's all about serving Jesus Christ. Real quickly, we've been working with Church of the Brethren in Dayton, Ohio. And there was a church that we had been dealing with going to, and they had an African-American pastor come through their church. And they're all, you know, white congregation, and they're elderly and older. And this particular black pastor that they brought through, he was like Superfly. You know, Superfly. He was real loud, real loud. And I mean, and sometimes you can scare people. You got to learn how to turn it down. You know what I'm saying? You're already, you know, different. And so we worship differently, but we have to be willing to cross-pollinate and learn from each other. And so he came in very loud and hollering and far and it scared everybody in the place. And so I learned that you have to be able, I think it's in relationship. As Pastor Nate and I, we have a relationship. And so oftentimes, you know, when you do come from a different culture, and I'm just going to be honest, in our culture, a lot of that stuff is way over the top. A lot of show and different things too. So, but we're going to deal with some of these things even in the book of James, and we're going to talk about what's going on and what God is saying in this season and in your life today. So I just honor you for allowing me to come today being your brother from another mother. Amen. But I am your brother in Christ. And that is the focal point, amen, in which we are going to operate from today. If you have your Bibles, we're going to go to the book of James chapter 4. This is going to be a opening foundational scripture. And then I'm going to give you the title of the sermon today. And I want you to buckle your seatbelts. I want you to be ready to receive, amen, what it is that God is going to present to you today. Now, I'm going to need your participation, because this is what I'm finding out in our Caucasian churches. You guys love the Lord and you worship, and some of you worship in an intellectual way, real quiet and real reserved, and just, oh, praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you. And he receives that. He receives that. And sometimes in the African-American church, we hey, I feel that. Hey. Sometimes you feel it. But some of that sometimes can be show, because some of us sometimes do it so we can be seen. But we don't want to do it to be seen. But I'm going to need your interaction. Amen. So I might tell you, turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, did you hear that? Or I might tell you to tell somebody, look way across the room. So I need you to participate, because we didn't come to spectate. We came to participate. And everybody has something to offer when it comes down to us being a part of the church. Now, can we do that today? Can we interact? Okay. I'm not going to have you to get up and turn a cartwheel and come up here and say anything. So I just need you to be open for what it is that God is going to do. Amen. In your life today. So James chapter 4 and verse 1 is our opening scripture, and then we're going to be digging into that a little bit more. I have some other scriptures that I'm going to go to, but let's just read that. James chapter 4 and verse 1, submit yourselves to God. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have, so you kill, you covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and you fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. And when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell inside of us? But he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. He opposes the proud, but he shows favor to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, moan, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will, amen, lift you up. I'm going to speak from the subject today. Can you stand to be corrected? Now I want you to repeat after me. Can we rehearse this? Say that with me. Can you stand to be corrected? Now watch this. Can you stand to be corrected? Stand and take it like a man. Take it like a woman. Tell me what I don't want to hear. That's difficult. Tell me what I don't want to hear. Can you, now watch this. I love playing with titles, so I'm going to add something on to this. Can you stand to be corrected in order for God to produce a deluge of spiritual growth in your life? Spiritual growth. You're going to become a giant. Speaking for God, walking for God, talking for God, interacting for God, where God's glory comes on you whenever you walk in the room. Hi, I'm Jim. How are you? Somebody say, ooh, that's the glory of God on that man. That's the power of God on that woman. Wow, look at, ooh, listen, and it's not about you, but how do you get that glory? How do you get that power? By humbling yourself and allowing yourself to be corrected, even on the thing that you don't want to hear. Say that with me. Can you stand to be corrected? Now I want you to look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, can you stand to be corrected? Now, don't get upset at them now. So growing and maturing in God to the body of Christ, one of the tools that God uses to grow you is correction. One of the tools that God uses to grow us all is correction. Can you stand to be corrected? If we are going to grow in Christ and be mature Christians, then we can or should not no longer be offended by the actions of what people do or say against us. That does not mean you're not going to be offended, that you're not going to be hurt, but it's when you stay with it. It is when you keep it and when you own it and you don't release it and say, God, I'm ready to be a spiritual giant. I'm ready to grow in you. So I'm not going to be offended at Sister So-and-so. When I came into church this morning, she glared at me. You understand? I'm not going to be offended because this person accidentally stepped on my toe and now I'm mad at them. And here is 6 months and here it is 2 years and they never apologized. Come on, somebody. You know, these things happen in the church. Amen. And so we can all stand to be corrected so that we can put things in perspective. If we are true followers of Jesus Christ, then we should understand that Jesus teaches us to deny ourselves. In other words, we must all pick up our Christ and carry. We must all pick up our cross and carry it. In other words, it's not about you. It's not about me. John chapter 3 and verse 13 says, I must decrease that he might increase in my life. I must decrease. You must continue to walk in humility and humbleness in order for God to show up in your life, in order for God to use you. We must decrease that he might increase. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, and then we're going to get back into James. We're going to dig into James. But let's look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. I won't be before you long. I just want to teach us some things that I feel that is going to be relevant in order for you to be truly empowered by God and to be anointed by God and used by God. There are some things that he wants us to do. And it talks about Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. It says, unity and maturity in the body of Christ. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humbled and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit. Somebody say one body and one Spirit. And we want to operate under that Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Verse 7, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ appointed it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. Verse 9, what does he ascended means except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions. He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. Verse 11, so Christ himself gave the apostles, first apostles, then prophets and pastors, evangelists, pastors and teachers. And it says to equip God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until, watch this, verse 13, until we all reach unity of the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, say mature, amen, mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. See, there is a fullness of Christ that God wants the body to look like. He wants us to be on one accord, and he wants us to meet that measure of fullness, and he's going to do it through correction. Verse 14, we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every cunning and crafty to men. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every aspect, respect a mature body of him who is the head. That is Christ. Now, I want you to say that with me one more time. Can you stand to be corrected?
Can you stand to be corrected?
Now, let's go back in James. Let's look at James chapter 4. Now, we want to look at this. As I was studying this, Brother Nate, you this was a powerful scripture. I remember at a conference, God had spoke to me about this, and I kind of documented this, James chapter 4, for the body at my church, because oftentimes in the church we have more people hurting in the church, or we have more things happening to us, and sometimes we don't understand why these things are happening, and so oftentimes we are offended or we hurt and we can't receive that correction, or when someone has to approach us about something to help you grow, we get offended. Why is that? We want to talk about that. Somebody say, why is that? We want to dig into that. That's found in James chapter 1 and chapter 4. And it says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires? First of all, it's coming from your desire. We want Christ's desire. We no longer want our desire. You have to come to a place where the little boy in you is being healed, where the little girl is being healed in you, and you're no longer offended by what it is that the pastor is teaching, or by what it is that the apostles are teaching, or what it is that your mother is saying to you, or what it is that your teacher or your boss is saying to you. You're no longer offended. Oh, watch this, even if they're wrong. Because some of us have to get the last say. Ooh, but it's your desire. You feel like, no, if I don't tell them off, I got to tell them. Somebody's got to tell them. I got to get them. No. So see, we must decrease that he might increase. See, there's going to be a period in your life where God says, I'm going to put a period, I'm going to put a pause right here, because I'm going to grow you. I'm going to grow that little girl in you. I'm going to grow that little boy in you. You are 50 years old and you still acting like your Uncle Louie. You are 70 years old and you still acting like, I'm getting too old. So Lord, whatever you need to cut off in me, cut it off. We can no longer, amen, be offended by what people do or say, because our life should be hidden in Christ Jesus. Oh, come on, you can clap right there. Come on, clap your hands right there. Our lives, amen, should be looking like Jesus Christ. Our actions, what we do, what we say. And I'm not saying that you're not going to be offended, but there is some benefits in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. There are some benefits that the body can access. And look at what he's saying here. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desire? It battles within you. He says, you desire, but you do not have. So you kill, you covet, but you cannot get what you want. So you quarrel and you fight. You do not have because you do not simply ask. You know what I'm finding out about the body? Oftentimes, most of us really don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. So guess what? We covet, we get upset because we never talk to him. Because sometimes he takes so long in answering your prayers. Because guess what? He's making you wait. And sometimes when he's making you wait, what he's wanting you to do is to stop fighting this person or fighting that person or trying to get the answer from this situation. He's trying to teach you to have a relationship with him so that you can kill your desires. It's no longer about your desires. It's all about him, because my life is now hidden in Christ Jesus. I must decrease that he might increase. So therefore, I don't get to argue back at you. Oh, that's tough. Perhaps it's a spouse that worked your last nerve. Ooh! That's one of my challenges. I love my wife, love her. But I'm going to tell you, I can go out here and just conquer the world. You can say anything about me, talk about me, and I just ignore it. I'll be like, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo, and just be so happy. And when I get in that house and she says something, I'll be, now, woman. Because she's the one that I live with. She knows my actions. She knows my weakness. She knows all these things. And God's saying too, sometimes, and we're not telling you, amen, to be a doormat, but we're telling you to focus on your relationship with Jesus Christ. When the temptation comes for you to get even with somebody else, when the temptation comes for you to get upset in your church, when God has asked you to do something. I got some crazy folk in my church, Lord, crazy as a box of rocks, but I love them. But God is teaching me to be patient with them. And sometimes some of the stuff they come up with, I'm like, Lord, is anybody listening? Lord, and now I'm crazy too. I mean, we all, because you know, we all, you know, God is changing our lives. We're changing from the old into the new. So, but He works on us if we allow the correction to come. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from the battle and the desire that is raging within you? You want, you covet, you have not because you ask not. You know what I learned to do? That to go to God. The reason why sometimes we don't go to God, because we really don't see God. We really don't know God. We really don't have a relationship with God. How many of you take time out to make sure that you do your devotions, to make sure that you pray, to make sure that you seek God? Sometimes we never even sought Him, but we seek the person. And so our desire comes right back up. We have to learn to shut that desire down and say, Father, it's not about me. Though you slay me, yet shall I trust you. I'm going to humble myself and I'm going to allow you to work this in me. He says in verse 2, you desire, but you do not have. So you kill, you covet, but you cannot get what you want. So you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask, he says, with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. He says, watch this, verse 4. He calls us, he calls me. He says, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. What is James talking about here? We sometimes act like the world, not understanding that we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ, that the power of God comes into our lives to help us decrease, that He might increase, and that we kill our desires. Boy, you want to be anointed? Ooh, you want to, ooh, death, burial, resurrection. What did that represent? Jesus died. He could have called 10,000 angels. He could have let the world have it. He could have overturned everything and changed everything around. But guess what? He just shut his mouth and went to the cross. And to some measure, you might not do it to the degree that he did, but Jesus is, God is saying, to some point, I need you to just keep quiet and just hurry up and die. Turn to somebody and say, hurry up and die. Hurry up and die. I'm not talking about physically. Hurry up and die to your opinion. Hurry up and die to your will. Hurry up and die to your desire. Oh, you're in a board meeting and you just got to be heard. You know what? That's the little boy in you. That's the little girl in you. And so you're offended and you leave the meeting. And guess what? It has been 6 weeks. It's been 8 weeks. It's been a year. And guess what? Your desire is still messed up. You're still frustrated. You're still mad. Guess what? God is trying to heal that in you. God is trying to fix that in you. We must decrease that He might increase. If we hurry up and move out of the way, He can come in our lives. If we hurry up and stop trying to get even, trying to be heard. See, I'm a master at ignoring things that people do to me. I practice it. Whatever you say, I don't care. You can't touch this. I don't care. Only person that can get under my skin, okay, I take that back, is my wife and my brother and my cousin Doug over there. Because he will work my last nerve. Why is this? You remember the Bible says that Jesus said, amen, that a prophet is without honor in his own home. Why? Because they know you. They know your actions. They know how you act. So you become a prophet. You become holy all you want. They still see Reggie. You just Reggie. So he knows how to work my last nerve, but, you know, I tease him a lot, so I ask for it too. But at the same time, one of the things that God is trying to get us to understand is that we can still grow with leaps and bounds if we humble ourselves and watch our desires and that we might line them up with God. Let me go at verse 4. It says, you adulterous people, he says, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? In other words, we are in the world, but we're not like the world. And then he says here at verse 5, or do you think Scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell in us? In other words, is the Spirit of God dwelling in you? Are you operating out of the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, patience, long suffering when people come against you. You have to fight that desire back down. You have to fight that so that the body can breathe, so that the body can live, so that we can have unity, so that we can have peace, so that we can have joy, because your life at some point should start looking like the fruits of the Spirit. Woo! Walking with a deluge of joy, just happy all the time. They think you're crazy. You're just happy. Somebody say, I'm happy. Just happy, happy, happy. That's the joy that God gives you when you practice worshiping Him every day and you deny yourself. You deny yourself. But imagine all y'all, if you practice that and you came in here and you denied yourself and somebody accidentally took that seat and picked it up and just had it sitting on your pinky toe. You know you will scream, Lord Jesus. But James 1 and 1, what did he say? Count it all joy. How are you going to count it all joy when you got this thing sitting on my pinky toe? Come on, somebody. Move that chair and say, sister, I know you didn't mean it, but I'm going to kill her later, Jesus. But praise the Lord anyhow. Come on, somebody. But James, notice, he's in chapter 4 talking about our desires. But guess what he says in chapter 1? He says, count it all joy whenever you face trials of many kinds. Why? Because the testing of your faith is being developed. Perseverance must finish its work so that you might be mature, not lacking in any area of your life. James comes to build us up, and he does it with you being corrected. He does it with you destroying your desires, your wills, your wants. It's not about you. Turn to somebody and say, neighbor, it's not about you. He says, count it all joy when they lie on you. Count it all joy when they persecute you. Count it all joy when they falsely accuse you. Count it all joy when family members come against you. Count it all joy when the church can't come together in the spirit of unity. He says, count it all joy. Worship Him and praise Him in spite of what the enemy is trying to do. Can you stand to be corrected? That's what we're talking about as we're coming to a close. So we're talking about growing and maturing in Christ. How does God grow us? That's the question that I want to impose on you today. I think oftentimes it's a misconception of understanding because we can't see God. But how does God grow us? God grows us. God grows the Christian through life's circumstances, trials, and tribulations. He grows us through circumstances, trials, and tribulations. He grows us through those things right there. And what he does is opposition. He grows us through opposition, trials, and tribulations. James 1 and 1 says, count it all joy whenever you face trials of some things. Is that what the scripture says, something? Or do I need to go there? I got it in my head now. I'll go there in a minute. But he says, count it all joy whenever you face trials of many kind. Many kind. I'm going through some things with my wife. I never would have thought that my wife would be under the attack at the level that she is now. I never would have thought it. She's had much love, but it's a mental thing. I never would have thought it. But you know what? I said, I got to keep on preaching. I got to keep on loving her. I got to keep on being there for her. But you know what? I have to count it all joy. Because I'm going to tell you something. You remember Job? Job was a man who feared God, who shunned evil. He loved God. He had a relationship with God. In fact, Job, perhaps he thought his children were sinning, and he would go to God every morning, and he would present his request to God and pray over his kids and cover his kids, and he would bless the name of the Lord. In spite of all of that, he lost his three sons and he lost his three daughters. And the Bible says that he was a righteous man, a man who feared God and shunned evil. He loved God. And so in spite of all of that, the enemy, the devil, started attacking Job. The only thing that was left with Job was his wife. Job lost everything. And what he said was, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. May the name of the Lord be praised. May I lift him up anyhow. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. That's having a relationship with God. That's destroying your desires. That's destroying your wills so that Christ, amen, can show up in you. And James is teaching us. Now let's go in there. James chapter 1, count it all joy whenever you face trials of many kind. Why? Because he is testing your faith. He is developing your faith through opposition, through correction, through people, circumstances, through COVID-19. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Why does this happen? Why all these things happen? What is God telling you to do? Count it all joy. This too shall pass. Praise him anyhow. Lift him up. Worship him in spite of the circumstances and the situations. Though he slay me, yet shall I trust him. We will survive. We will get through this. We've been through this before. I will bless the Lord. David said at all times, his praises shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of him and be glad. He says, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I will bless the Lord, whether the chips are up, whether the chips are down. If my car breaks down, if my children are acting up, if they lie on me, if they talk about me, I'm going to bless the Lord anyhow. It is when we begin to praise God anyhow, in spite of what's happening, that's when he gets the glory. Amen. Come on, you can clap right there. That's when he gets the glory out of your life, is when you can lift him up in spite of what the enemy is trying to do to you. James chapter 1, we'll look at that real quick. James chapter 1, he says, trials and tribulations. So the church is going through some things. So we're going through transition. So we have COVID-19. We have all these things that are pressing the church, trying to destroy us from coming together, trying to stop us from meeting together, all these things that are happening and taking place. But look what James says in verse 1 and verse 2. He says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. He didn't say some. He says, because you know that the testing of your faith produces, somebody say produce. It produces perseverance. You must persevere. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature. Persecution matures you. It's one thing about black folk, and I'm going to tell you this. One thing we know from slavery, how to suffer. That's not to discredit. Many other white folk know how to suffer. We know how to suffer because, you see, when we were in slavery, we didn't have nothing but the hog. And some folk, Pastor, you eat chitlins. Do any of y'all in here know what chitlins is? Some of y'all don't know what chitlins is. It's the pig's intestines. Now, that's some nasty stuff. But every once in a while, I still eat them. Because it was culturally, because it was from what we inherited because of slavery. And oftentimes in slavery, when we was in the cotton field and picking cotton, amen, my ancestors, all they had was a song in their heart and a song singing to God that one day, Father, we're going to be free. That's all they had. Blood at their fingertips from picking cotton. That's all they had was suffering. And your ability to be able to suffer sometimes, whatever you're going through, God says, James says, count it all joy. Count it all joy. Job said, though he slay me, it's painful, ugly sores on my body, my friends have turned against me, family members, I've lost my family member, lost everything, but I will bless the Lord anyhow. It is only when you can teach yourself to deny yourself and when you say, God, I know you got me. No matter what I face, no matter what I go through, Lord, I know you're with me, Lord God. I trust you in every area of my life. I'm denying myself so that you can come into my life and so that you can change my life. Real quick, Hebrews chapter 12 and 1. Hebrews 12 and 1 as we close. The writer says in Hebrews chapter 12 that God disciplines his sons and daughters. And he also says that he punishes those whom he accepts as children. Look at what he says, Hebrews chapter 12 and 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance. Somebody say perseverance. And he says, the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. The Christian, we must fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. And he's perfecting our faith through the persecution or through whatever it is that you're going through, even within this church. Even when sometimes someone might rub you the wrong way, you have a responsibility to deny and to get rid of your desire to pray for them. I'm not telling you to be a doormat. But you must discern when God is telling you, if you know that there's a spirit in you for all where you just have to be heard, you're trying to get even. Sometimes God is telling you to work on that. Let it go. Turn to somebody and say, let it go. You have to be able to let it go. He says, for the joy set before him, to endure the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Now watch what he says at verse 4. God disciplines his sons and his daughters. He says, in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. He says, and have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as fathers, addresses his sons. It says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. That word discipline, rebuke, he says, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastises everyone he accepts as a son. He disciplines the one he loves, and he chastises those who he accepts as a son. Real quick, my mother was raised by a single mother, awesome mother. My father, he died of cirrhosis of the liver from over drinking. And one of the things that I have to credit my mother to, she could, four boys and one older daughter, and she could not hardly handle us by herself. But what I remember is her always telling me the truth. She couldn't control me, but if she could get a belt and hit me with it real hard when I was acting up, because I'm a single mother dealing with boys, you better do some, throw a shoe at them or something. You know, I mean, throw a brick at them or something to get their attention, because they're males. Come on, somebody. So she taught the word, amen, come on, somebody, get them. She taught us the word of God. She put it in us, and what I would always hear her saying, nope, I'm going to tell you the truth because God's going to hold me accountable. She never, imagine a parent that will not tell you what's right from wrong. That means they don't love you, or they don't understand, or they're fearful to tell you the truth. I love my mother for telling me what I didn't want to hear. Can you stand to be corrected? That's what this is all about, us being able to decrease that he might increase, that we might destroy our desires, that we might be able to hear what it is that God wants to say to us and for us in our lives. As I close today, James is saying here in James chapter 4, amen, and he says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from the battle and the desires that rage down on the inside of you? As we read on, he talks about coming to a place of repentance. It's a word that we really don't hear much in this day and age. You have to come to a place where you say, God, kill my desires. He says, wail, weep, moan, lay before the Lord, he says, and ask God to cleanse you of all filthiness of the flesh and anything that the enemy would use, or anything that is in your life that is not pleasing to God or others around you. This is a self-analysis. This is where you have to judge yourself. And I come to tell you, before I come and speak to you, I'm speaking to me. I speak to me every day. What is in me that's not right? What is filthy in my life, Father, that is not pleasing to you? Father God, I want to be washed by your blood. Father, forgive me for my sins. Father, forgive me for falsely accusing my brothers. Father, forgive me for judging people. Oh, and that's something that we do very well. We can judge people. It's in us. But we have to take the spotlight and we have to shine it on our lives. And we have to decrease that he might increase. And therefore, he gets glory out of our lives. And guess what? We become like transformers. We're no longer the old person. We become the new person. And Christ's light shines on us. I love being anointed by God. Woo! What you talking about? It's something about his presence. Oh, Lord, I just love it. My girls know I come out from prayer. I go sometimes praying for a whole hour. I come in the house and just be lit up. And they say, Daddy, you are crazy. I be high, like I've been smoking some weed or something. I don't do that. I mean, we got young people. I don't do that. I used to do those years ago. But I be drunk off the Spirit. Remember, that's what it said on the day of Pentecost. They were all on one accord, and the power of God fell, and they thought they were drunk. You see, when you drunk off of Jesus, oh Lord, when you forgive people, when you ignore things and people say this and people say these things about you, come on, because you've gotten rid of your desires. It's no longer about you. It's all about Jesus. And that's you building a rapport, a great relationship with him. You having conversations with him. You talking with him. You're waking up in the morning. You're consumed with him. You're overwhelmed with him. And so therefore he shows up in your life when you least expect it. Because guess what? When they set that little chair on your little pinky toe, come on somebody, you're going to forgive them. You're going to get mad first, but don't stay there. You're going to say, let me pray for you. And all the while, that little pinky toe going to be throbbing. That is there. That is a trial in your life. And it is a test to see, are you going to pray for them? Come on, somebody. I'm going to close. I got so much I can say, but I'm going to close and let you go home. Because you know, they say black folk don't wear, they always take 20 years to preach. But I'm not going to preach, so I want you to be blessed by God. Pastor Nate, thank you for having me to come here today. It has truly been a blessing. What causes fights and quarrels, don't they come from the battle and the desire that is raging down on the inside of you? I want you to examine yourselves, all of us. I'm speaking to me. Examine yourselves and ask God to forgive you. We must continue to hold ourselves. The Bible says produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Keeping with repentance. We have to die daily. We have to ask God for forgiveness daily. So my prayer is for you as we go through these difficult times in life that we would be strengthened as a body and that we would stand to be corrected in any areas of our lives. If we have a great relationship with God, if we know God, then we would decrease that he might increase and show up in our lives. May God continue to bless you. I'm going to come back just to fellowship, even if I don't speak, so that we can stay connected, amen, so we can mix and colorize God's church. Black folk, white church, green folk, red folk, we all need to be on one accord. And may God bless you. Thank you all for having me. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Pastor Reggie.
Thank you.
It wasn't Reggie that put this one to sleep. Let me give us a benediction as we prepare to go. Lord, we say thank you for the times that you tell us things that we don't want to hear. We say thank you for the challenges and trials that do not overwhelm us because your spirit is within us, but invite us to a greater surrender and a doorway to a greater victory through the Holy Spirit. So whatever it is that is afflicting us right now, whether it's relationships, whether it's uncertainty with our jobs, whether it's a global pandemic, whether it's the election season and all of the rhetoric and division, pray that we would count it all joy, that we would not grow weary of doing right, that we would realize that even when we run out of our own energy, there is an eternal fountain of life bubbling within our hearts in you. So we bless this community. We bless Brethren Church, we bless the nation, we bless the whole world in Jesus' name. May we continue to cling to our strength, which is not found in ourselves, but in the cross, and know that the resurrection power of Christ is coming. So we bless you. We are so grateful for your word. Bless this people as we go. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for being here. Please bless Reggie for being here with us today. Say hello to him and his family. And Doug, thanks again for being here. So grateful for them and their ministry. And we'll be seeing more of them. But for now, if you're watching from home, we'll see you soon. And if you're here today, go in peace.